Report, this is Art Kevin reminding you that news is heard as it happens on KHJ Radio 93.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to the Jane and Steve Show. Actually, I should say more than the Jane and Steve show today. I should say the Jane and Steve and Rosie and Dickie and Ray and Alan and Billy show, because we have all kinds of friends who dropped in this morning to spend the next 55 minutes with us. The Rosie we will bring to the microphone right away because she won't be able to stay the entire 55 minutes with us today. She has to rush off and we'll be finding out to where and for what purpose very shortly. I call her Rosie. You know her, of course, as whenever I pause, I always feel like doing one of those automatic jokes. But I'll be serious.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I don't think you need to say anything now. They've heard that laugh.
That's right. No, that would be another better setup for the joke. You know, you say, now you don't have to tell them who it is, do you?
You
and I say, of course not, folks. It's Nils Astor. One of those, one of those jokes. You know. Anyway, everybody does know, I'm sure, because she's one of the mainstays of what is one of the most popular and one of the best television shows ever done, the Dick Van Dyke Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Rose Marie.
And here she is now. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, neighbor.
Good morning, neighbor. I really must rush off. I have a cycle of wash going, and I've got to get that bell goes ding, ding.
Oh, dear.
Oh, course, my, you're... this is nice and cozy up here.
Isn't it?
It's just wonderful. Mm-hmm.
This is the way to do,
yes,
radio.
Yes, it is.
Our attic, as Steve calls it.
Mm. Well, it's a very nice attic, I tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. This is, this hour, I should say, is no stranger to you because, as I guess most people know who are interested in the production methods of television film series, the schedule is pretty much like that of making a regular motion picture in that you have to get up early.
Our show?
Yes.
No.
No? No kidding.
Really?
No. Well, what most people think is wrong again. Tell us about it.
Well, see, our show was done in front of a live audience.
Ah, that's
right. And a lot
right.
of people don't know that. They think that we film just like any studio does, like Bonanza or something like that.
That's right.
But we do our show in front of a live audience, and we usually tape on Tuesday nights. And audience comes in about, oh, I should say 7 o'clock, quarter of 7. And we do a warm-up. And then show starts about 7:30. We have 3 or 4 sets, general sets on our lot, on our stage, I should say. And we do our show like a play.
Oh, that's marvelous.
And the only delay that we have is a costume change or a reloading of camera. And the audience sees a tremendous experience, actually, for anybody who's never seen anything like that. Not just an ordinary television show, but a film show, a live show, everything, the technique of three cameras all at once, and it's very interesting, and they leave about 9 o'clock having seen a whole show done as a play.
Isn't that the way Lucy is done,
That's
too?
That's right. Yes. Lucy was the one that originated it, bless her heart, because it is the greatest form of filming to do for comedy that ever happened.
Yes, much superior to the other method, which involves making a regular motion picture that
stopping
happens to be 30 minutes in length, doing little bits and pieces of scenes, as you've said, Jane, then scotch taping them together, and then adding the sound of recorded applause.
We have no laugh track whatsoever, and it is amazing. The mail that we get, say the laugh track is too loud.
Oh,
could
well.
You cut it down? You know,
yes.
And if they would only realize it and watch it, they see that we have to wait. If something gets a very big laugh, I mean, we thought maybe it would get a fair laugh, and it gets a tremendous laugh, that we're almost hesitating for the next line because we have to wait for the laugh. Mm. And sometimes things that we think are funny don't get any laughs, and we go right on. And applause usually comes in sometimes when a scene, if the audience likes a scene very, very much. The greatest example of that is another television show that once was done like this with an audience, and just for curiosity's sake, I went over to the set to watch it, and they had no audience. They were doing it on film. And went over, it was a comedy show, a very popular comedy show. I won't mention any names, but it was a very popular comedy show, and the director stood behind the camera, and the man was doing the bit, whatever joke it was. The director sat in front, back of the camera, and the man said the joke, and I always use, and his shirt fell off. I use that as a punchline for a joke anytime, you know, to refer to a joke. And he did the joke, and his shirt fell off, and there was a long pause, and the director in back of the camera went, laugh, laugh, laugh.
No.
for timing, you know. And sure. I thought, oh, dear, how do you get in there to be funny again?
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Whee.
It's terribly important to comedy to have that continuity that, that just builds and builds and builds. Especially sure. in your type of comedy in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's right. That's why the live audience is so tremendous. Mm-hmm. It helps us as performers to time our jokes and time our bits, things like that.
Believe it or not, Rosie, most of the comedy shows that I've done on the television over the years have been live, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and or those that were not were taped in the live manner, which means no editing, just... You saw it as it happened. And even we used to get occasional postcards and letters saying,
yes.
can you please cut the laugh track down?
Mm.
You don't deserve that big a laugh.
Mm.
You know, we are going to pause right now at about, it's almost 11 minutes after 9. We'll be right back with Rose Marie, and we're going to bring to the microphone a number of people. Next in line, Mr. Alan Young, who has dropped in this morning, too, to visit us again. And that will happen if you'll come right back.
Come to Kenny. Are.
Surprise! There's a February savings spree at Kinney Shoes.
Come to Kinney, where the styles are.
Yes, Kinney takes the wraps off new spring shoe styles and specially prices them for a limited time only.
Come to Kinney, where quality shows.
Imagine that famous Kinney quality in exciting new spring fashions and all at exciting prices, too.
Come to Kinney, where the family goes.
Style, value, and famous brand names. That's Kinney's February savings spree. So bring the family and start saving on new spring shoes now.
Come to Kinney, where the styles are. Come to Kinney, where the values are.
Check the telephone directory for the Kinney store nearest you and visit the Kinney Shoe Center now in Glendora, Bell Gardens, and Manhattan Beach. All are open weekdays and Saturday till 9, Sundays till 5. Back now to Jane and Steve.
Here we are once again. Goodbye, Ray.
Bye, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Our friend Dr. Ray Lascola came by again this morning and walked through the house very fast. It's a shortcut from here to the freeway, you see. And we just give him carte blanche. Now, as I was saying, another one of our friends has dropped in again. You recall he was on our program just recently, and we've received such wonderful reaction to his visit. Here he is again, another great TV favorite, comedy favorite, Mr. Alan Young. Morning again, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Good
Jane
morning.
And Roe.
Hi.
Hi, dear.
How you doing?
Just wonderful. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see
Not
you.
That I don't see you every week.
Oh, I could say the same for you.
Don't you dare. This is, to me, present company accepted is... the greatest comedy show on the air.
That's
because
very
it's got
nice.
The greatest comedians and comedians.
That's very nice.
No, it's true.
It is.
It's a marvelous.
Well, it's
done
a beautiful
program.
Chemistry of people. It's a wonderful combination of everything being
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
The writing, the direction, the crew, everything.
Mm-hmm. And it really looks like you all are having fun and like each other.
Well, that is one of the biggest jokes on our show that ever happened because. As you know, when you work with somebody a long, long time, and a group of people a long time, and if you work 5 days a week, which you would know better than anything, Steve, the weekend's like, leave me alone. You know, I want to go be with other friends and other people and stuff, but we don't. We socialize on weekends, which is ridiculous. And if we get invited to a party, and suppose we'll be invited individually, for instance, I'll get an invitation, and Dick will get an invitation, Maury will get an invitation, and if we are at this place... Within 5 minutes, we group together like the clickiest bunch of people you've ever seen. We are inseparable as a group.
That's very nice. And it is very unusual.
And I say the joke that we always use is when we get into rehearsal or something, because we rehearse Thursdays, Fridays, and then Saturdays, and Sundays we're off, and then Monday we block with Cameron, Tuesday we block again, and then shoot Tuesday night, as I told you. But we'll get into a discussion about, well, I don't think you ought to go over there. I think you ought to move your right foot over your left eye or something, you know. And we'll get in, and our script girl, who is just tremendous, a wonderful gal by the name of Marge Mullen, would say, do they really get along as well as it shows on television? You know, so we wound up being a joke with us, you know. But it's true, we do.
Now I want our listeners to meet another one of our guests this morning. It's turned out, more or less by a very happy accident here, to be sort of a comedy... round table panel discussion. Let's see now. Let me run around the table here. Jane has appeared in a number of Broadway comedies and also has done a great many sketches.
Sketches with Rose Marie.
Oh, yes. Of course we
with
have.
Rose
I
Marie.
Forgot that.
She's done a lot of comedy on my show and on the Red Skelton show and on various programs. Then, of course, Rose Marie is very experienced, not only in television comedy, but works a great many nightclubs in her capacity as a funny woman. And I need not say any more about Alan Young's long and distinguished achievements as a television comedian. And now, the next gentleman we want you to meet is another good friend of ours named Dickie Dawson.
Another Englishman.
Yes, another Englishman, but more specifically in this particular context, another comedian. So we'll get various points of view about comedy this morning. Dickie, first of all, how are you?
Yes,
hello.
Nice to be with you. Good morning. Morning.
Nice to see you again.
Steve, everybody. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Very quick return you have on the show. Isn't it wonderful? I heard you just a
few days ago.
Neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the word is getting around now what fun we have here. A lot of our friends are dropping in, and it's wonderful.
I'm just a stone's throw from here. It's a place with all the broken windows.
But Rosie and Alan really are neighbors. You're in Van Nuys.
That's right.
And Alan is in
Studio City.
Mm-hmm. So you see, that's about 5 minutes away.
I'm at Desilu Kawanga.
Good for you.
It's just outside. I wait there for all the jobs. I get made up about 6 o'clock in the morning. And did you notice I'm the only one that ever wears a blue shirt for radio?
That's funny.
As a matter of fact, I hate old cliches like, all cliches are old, but I hate lines like, you know, boy, it looks like Grand Central Station here this morning. One of the reasons I don't like lines like that is that the people who do them usually deliver them as if they just thought of them.
Yeah.
I hate people who say, boy, when George Fremen is here, anything can happen, and usually does.
The terrible thing is when they did really just think of them.
Yes.
I think
yes.
It's original, you know, and that was a good line I got off, and you say, I certainly was.
Yeah, but it becomes a stock thing that you kind of store in the back of your head, and if something comes up to that occasion, you, I don't know, bring it out of the so-called back of your mind.
But the terrible thing is when you've got a good switch on a line, on a funny line, and you use your good switch, and nobody laughs, and then some character uses the original and gets a scream, and you sit there like a jerk, you know?
Yes.
And
you say, well, you know what my mother's answer to that is? It's a new generation.
I like your mother.
Jane, you should see Jane and my mother get along.
Oh, she's a dear.
I love Rosie's mother. Yeah. Your mother, isn't it true, never gets
names right.
Names right.
Oh, she's the greatest with names.
Tell us some of the
names, for instance, she sees a movie. Now, she'll know the big stars, and she'll be fairly right. Now, she calls you Jane.
Yes,
you're all right. And
something...
you're Steve. You're all right.
No, but, he's Tarzan.
Yeah,
me Jane. No, but anyway, she has names like for Sheldon Leonard. She calls him Seldon Bernardi. And Carl Reiner is Earl Randolph.
Why?
I don't know.
And it's not...
Well, that's his real name.
She's not trying to be funny.
No.
Mm. This is really the way she sees them with these names.
I once got in a cab with Liberace in New York. I hate to be a cab dropper, but I was riding to NBC, and we had a cab driver who did that. And it was, like, I think the third day that I was ever in America. And in England, the cab drivers never talk to you. You
know. Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, you're lucky if they stop where you want to get off.
No, I disagree. I'm sorry.
Funny.
And this man looked around, and, you know, Liberace wasn't wearing sequins or anything, just some stiletto heels and a comma Miranda hat. But no, he was very conservatively dressed. He was going for a rehearsal. And we'd become friends when he played the Palladium. And the cab driver turned around, driving way, way, very fast. And he said, I'm right, ain't I? And he said, I beg your pardon. And he said, it is, ain't it? And he said, why? This is Liberace. So he said, yes, yeah. He said, I get them all in the cab. Get them all, he said. Elspeth Taylor.
Elspeth Taylor?
Elspeth
that
Taylor.
Was Elizabeth Taylor. I found out only because he connected immediately.
Yeah, but that's
Ernie
close.
Ernie Fisher.
That's close.
Ernie Fisher.
Ernie Fisher.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
He went up a wrong way street, and he'd named 50 wrong names, and we were so embarrassed. Liberace got out. It was like $2, and he gave him $10 because we were in the wrong way street just to get out. And we were running away to go into the studio, and He leapt out of the cab and he said, "Hey, Liberace, one more thing." And he said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "Give your regards to my wife."
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
The wildest line I'd ever heard in my life.
No, we hear that a lot.
Believe it or not, yes, that is fairly common.
Regards to my
really?
Wife.
Yes,
they mean that. To say give my regards to your wife, and they get the words confused.
Although with Liberace, I don't know. Well, the way he meant that.
Very often they will say, you know, you're one of my biggest fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think they get excited or something, yes. And they put it backwards.
The strangest line of that particular sort that anybody ever threw in my direction was one evening when a gentleman came up and he had a piece of paper like this, or an envelope, as a matter of fact, and he turned it over and held out a pen, handed me the envelope, and he said, "Mr. Allen, would you please sign this for the back of my wife?" It's 9:21 right now, and at that point, we'll arbitrarily decide to pause for this important message.
Get away and go in a quick new Pontiac.
It's the swinginest, young and bold.
Get away and go, you've just got to drive that quick new Pontiac 65.
The Pontiac Grand Prix steps away from its imitators this year with a car that looks, moves, rides like no luxury sports car you've ever seen. New styling gives it a lower, longer look. A new transmission makes it move more swiftly, more smoothly.
Pontiac Grand Prix for 65. The quick one.
Wide tracks. This is the year of the rideable, drivable wide tracks. So get away and go in a quick new Pontiac. See him at your dealer at Wide Track Town today.
Motor Trend Magazine Car of the Year at your Southern California Pontiac dealers now.
Speaking of mangling names, as we all were just a moment ago, there's a fellow that I guess we all know. He's one of my dear friends. He was the producer of my different TV shows for quite a few years. He now is, along with Nick Vanoff, one of the producers of the Hollywood Palace show on ABC TV, Bill Harbach. And Bill is notorious in the business for the fact that he gets names wrong. And like your mother, Rosie, he doesn't do it to be funny. He's not a consciously funny man, although not on purpose. He's a very amusing fellow. And some of his name manglings have become minor classics of their sort. And naturally, when we were on Sunday, he used to have to book 3 and 4 top names every week. And boy, the versions of those names that used to fly around the office, he would suddenly get an idea. One day he said, "Get me that actor, what's his name? Charlton Moses." Meant, of course, Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Well, see, that's close. You can at least get an association.
Figure it out.
Another time we were going to do a swimming pool show with the whole program built around a pool with all the obvious things that would suggest. And he said, "There's only one person we get for the star of this show, Ethel Waters."
Oh, my, that's beautiful.
He meant Esther Williams.
Yes, it's like poetry.
That's beautiful. What an association.
He meant Esther Williams. There's always a kind of a poetic connection. Mm-hmm. What's another one? Well, I can't think of it.
He would be great on You Don't Say.
Yeah, because he never does.
I've got to tell you this. One of the nights you came over for dinner at our house, and I had Richard Deacon over from our show, and Jane Doolittle. And my mother had made a nice dinner and stuff, and we were going to some affair or something, and Deke, as we call him, you don't know this story, Jane. Jane Doolittle and Jane and Steve, remember this grouping now. So Deke came into the kitchen or something and was helping my mother, and we were going to some affair. I don't know, it was the Emmys or anything like that. So my mother said to Deke, she says, "Are you going to the Emmys?" And he says, "Oh, of course." So my mother said, "Well, who are you going with?" And he said, "Oh, I'll probably take Jane." And my mother's face fell right to the floor. And she looked at him and she says, "You're taking Jane?" And he said, "Yes," unconscious. He said, "Yes." And then he thought for a minute. He says, "Oh, no." He says, "I'm taking Betty." And my mother says, "Oh, that's fine, because that's Jane Doolittle's name, Betty."
Isn't that weird?
She thought that he was taking you.
That is amazing. Wow. Her name for
Jane Doolittle
is Betty. Wow.
But
I think that's
my favorite. I have two or three favorites that I must tell you. One is Carol Loomis.
Who's that?
Audrey Totter.
I thought it was Regis Tunis. Right?
How do you...
No,
how
they,
do you,
doesn't get... They, that's
not
what I mean.
Close.
They're not close.
Can you ever, not explain that at all?
No, I cannot. But every time she sees Audrey Tautou on the screen, she says, she's one of my favorites, that Carol Loomis. I like her.
Well, I've always
to
liked
her,
Carol Loomis.
She looks like her name should be Carol Loomis. That must be the
Richard
explanation.
Deacon is Dooley Duncan. And, of course,
oh,
this is one of my favorites, Angelo Palangi.
Who's that?
Jack Palance.
Angelo Palangi.
Now, if you study those things, that really...
There's some kind
in
of
the
a
corner there, they
kind of
look
them.
Like that. That
yeah.
name
That's
fit
right.
them.
Yes.
Let me
yeah.
ask this. Now, in the stories I told about Bill Harbaugh, he said this once, and then the stories went on, but he never called him that twice. It was just a momentary...
No,
yeah.
With my mother, that's
she,
it. All the time.
It's consistent with
yes.
her.
All the time.
I see.
Yes.
They never change. That's their name.
Very interesting.
And,
very
interesting. And if you tell her, if you say, Mother, no, that isn't right. Like a music contractor on our show's name is Manny Stein. She's forever calling him George. And George and George and George. So she called me up the other day and she said, I want to send them a card. She says, what is their last name? And I said, Stein. She says, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is. She says, George. You know who I mean? George and Beatrice. I must say his wife's name is Rebecca. So she said, no, George and Beatrice, you know. She says, that. What's their last name? I said, Stein, Mother. She says, no, it's not. You don't know. You're not talking about the same people I am.
She That's must funny. Have an awful lot of letters returned.
No, she doesn't. Believe it or not, she wrote this card to them, and it was delivered, and the name was Mr. and Mrs. George Steinberg, and they received it.
The right address.
Obviously read Beatrice of Sunnybrook
Farm. No,
sent it
to a friend of theirs.
Probably. It's just...
Oh, my word. She even sent it to a friend of theirs. Mm.
But he carries it around. He's so thrilled so that now at the studio, everybody practically calls him George.
To get back for a moment to that other subject we had touched upon a few minutes ago about the remarkable things that people say to you, admirers or fans, such as, will you please sign this for the back of my wife? Alan, do you have any recollections of that particular sort?
No, I'm always called Mr. Allen.
Really?
Yes, and when we were on the perhaps you remember, on the New Year's float, whenever they said, hey, Mr. Allen, I would turn, and they would say, not you, him, referring to you.
Yeah, I often didn't know they'd yell, hey, Allen, and it could have been either one of us.
Oh, of course.
But I get Mr. Allen, and my wife gets Mrs. Allen.
Isn't
so we, and my real name being Angus, I will turn if they say, hey, George, so, you know, so many names.
Well, Ginny calls you Angus.
Ginny calls, well, no, she calls me Allen. But when she says Angus, I better turn. That's the hey you, you know, come for dinner.
All performers, no matter whoever is the greatest performer that ever lived and the most famous, he had this experience too, whoever he might have been, of simply having people come up to you and say, oh, what is your name again?
Oh,
we watch you all the time. We love you.
Yes.
Who, come on, give me your name. Who are you?
I know you.
Yep.
I know you. I've seen you. What is your name? Oh,
sure.
I know it. What
on
is
the
your
tip
name?
Of my
then
tongue.
You say Rosemary, and they say, no, that's not it. What is
yeah.
your name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is understandable, but what I've always had a little trouble fitting into place in my mind is being called Fred Allen. I can understand this maybe in young people who maybe didn't know who Fred Allen was, but as anybody over... say 40 knows very well, Fred Allen is one of the real giants of a few years back, and I can never understand how they could confuse me with him. Maybe Dave Garraway, because we both wear glasses or something. That's understandable.
I don't think it's that they're confusing you, dear. What they are confusing is just the name, the similarity of the name, and the fact that both they associate with comedy, and their names that they know well.
I guess that's it.
No, there's more to it than that.
What
if
is
I
it?
May disagree.
You certainly may.
And I don't mean this to be complimentary, because I wouldn't just disagree to compliment, but the wit is the same.
You're right.
It's
the ad-libbing.
It's a, yeah. Mm. I don't think anybody can appreciate Steve till they see him on MC a show that he didn't know he was going to have to MC, and he doesn't know who's coming up next, and he's making comments about the fact they haven't shown up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see the same as Fred Allen. I mean, his ad-libs were exactly the same. It's the wit along with the name, I think, that exactly. gives that comparison.
The unprepared. Steve never ceases to amaze me when he does these dinners where everybody comes in with the material that they've been doing in nightclubs for 30 years or something.
Or specially written for the occasion.
Or especially written for the occasion, yeah. Dickie, as you say. And then Steve stands up, and I think the reason why he gets laughs three times the size of, you know, the routines, which are brilliant and have been brilliant for
tried
years,
and proven, yeah.
is because everybody knows it is right on the spur of the moment.
Well, actually, I made the happy discovery quite by accident many years ago, and all performers do discover this quite early in their careers, that such ad-libbing as you may do, the audience usually can somehow detect as
yeah.
ad-libbing.
Mm-hmm. And, they sense.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they will laugh more at even a kind of a weak ad-lib.
Because of the attempt, and the creative.
Because they respect the mind being able to work that fast and work that fast, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, talking of the people that come in with written material, Bill Dana, a dear friend of yours, and myself were amongst 80 people who were invited to receive an award. I'd never gotten an award for anything in my life. Mm. For the City of Hope, which we do things for. And as we came in, they said, here's where you get introduced. And he was number 64 award, and I was 67.
Wow.
Now, Bill had a television show at that time, but I mean, everybody in front was Charlton Heston, did the catering, you know. Mm. They locked him in the room with the 7 loaves of bread and some fish. He did a very good job. No, but everybody, Jack Benny, George Burns, George Jessel, Milton Berle, and they all knew this. So Billy said, we've got 3 minutes, we're allowed to do something. So we were writing things on the tablecloth, little note. Mm. And we would see things so close to it getting done, you know, by number 15, we'd cross it off and we'd sit there very, I'd say, hey, we'll do something about so, and he'd say yes, and number 25 performer came up.
Oh, what a terrible feeling.
And we got into such a state, in the end, we did nothing at all until we got up there, and then we were absolutely a disaster. Well, as a matter of fact, my award melted.
It's a better story that way.
Tell you one cute thing. I've gone to an affair where they're honoring a great comedian, and I can't prepare anything. I can't say to a writer, write something funny for me to say at a dinner or something, especially if I've worked with the man or know mm-hmm. him or anything. And at this one particular affair, Robert Goulet was also a guest speaker, so to speak. And he got up and he said, I really don't know what to say. He said, I love the man, and I think he's a great talent, and I'm very honored to be here. And he sat down. Mm. Well, everybody else got up and had jokes and routines, as you say, Jane, and so forth and so on. And get up to me, I got up and I said, I would have loved to have said some nice things. I said, but Robert Goulet took my whole speech.
Very clever.
The time is now 9:32, and once again, we'll pause briefly for an important word.
To remind you that this is KHJ, AM and FM, RKO General for Los Angeles. We'll return to Jane and Steve in just 60 seconds.
Tell me, little friend, are your lunch hours getting to be a bore? You've tried all the restaurants, coffee shops. For kicks, you're down to eating in the park. Well, take a tip from your friendly local announcer. Find yourself a lovable Shakey's Pizza Parlor at Yeep Public House, where the Bavarian black beer flows from man-sized pitchers. The pizzas come fresh, hot, and tasty. Shakey's leans over backwards, so when you lean over frontwards and look down at Shakey's Pizza, your mouth will water. Yes, little friend, this is the way to be introduced to a smoked oyster or an Italian sausage or Canadian bacon or any one of the many, many imported goodies and exotic blends of herbs and spices that go into the fresh pizzas on a Shakey's menu. By all means, join in the fun of an evening. But remember, Shakey's Pizza Parlors and Ye Public Houses also present Ye Whole Bit at lunchtime. Shakey's puts in a lot of work on their pizza. You can, too.
And here we are again. We were just discussing peculiar ways in which all of us have been introduced at one time or another. I've been introduced even by people who were introducing me in front of an audience as Fred Allen by mistake. Mm-hmm. Has anything like that ever happened to you, Alan Young?
No.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Alan.
Well,
oh, dear.
Not for years.
Angus?
Aye, lass, I'll do it. I came down to America in 1942. Was during the war, as a matter of fact.
You left us,
didn't
you?
I left you.
During the Blitz.
But, no, I was brought to America to do a show. And I did a little act that opened up with me walking on stage with my suspender hanging down the back, as if I hadn't dressed properly, and the people would start to giggle. And then I would notice it, I dressed in a hurry, and then through a little gymnastics, I would get the suspender all tangled up and then get out of it, and I got applause at the end. So this is my first American appearance. I thought, this will be a nice underplaying way of being, coming on. So I was standing in the wings, and the man said, "Oh, this next act, you've all seen him in pictures." Oh, boy, you know. He's one of the greatest stars in the business, and blah, blah, and I'm waiting. And he said, "Here he is, Alan Ladd." I started to applaud, and he's looking at me, and I suddenly realized he had the name wrong, and I had to walk out. And I walked out, and you could hear the applause suddenly, go down. And then I realized my suspender
he
hanging.
He looked so much older on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Dear.
And then they saw the suspender hanging down. and now they're whispering, it's not like working to a whisper. So I started to reach for the suspender, and the producer of the show suddenly thought, that poor kid, and he put the microphone open. He said, "That's all the time we have. The show's going on the air." This was a warm-up for a radio show. Wow. And I said, "Thank you." And I walked back into the wings with my suspender still hanging. And 10 minutes later, I had to come out and do the spot on radio in front of the audience who thought I was Alan Ladd with a sloppy suspender. Well, I went back home, left America, and said, "I will never come back again."
Oh, dear.
That's terrible.
No, it was fine. Did you a lot of good. You get calluses that way in your heart.
Well, I got the greatest. I will never forget an introduction I got from Jack Parr, and I've kidded him a lot of times about it. I've lived out here for the past 18 years or so, but traveling quite a bit, and until the Bob Cummings show and the Van Dyke show, I traveled quite a bit. I was more on the road than I was at home. I made up my mind about 7 years ago to stay home. So I'd always said, well, the reason I never am asked to make a picture or something is because they really don't know what I do because I'm always on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm making fabulous money, doing very well, but nobody knows me here in California where I live. So they asked me to do a show at the 20th Century Studio Club, Billy Gordon, the casting director. And I said, well, now, why are they asking me? They really don't know what I do and so forth and so on. But I said, all right. Now, the Studio Club is a closed thing, as you know. They hire the room for the night, and it's everybody that works at the 20th, and it's an inside thing. So Jack Parr was under contract at that time to 20th. So I'm sitting there, and I'm leaving to play the Chicago Theater in about 2 or 3 days that I play twice a year, headlining the show, very, very large in every respect. And they introduced the show. Now, the show goes, Jack Parr comes out, and he says, "Gee, with everybody here, I wonder who's watching the store on Pico," and all these inside jokes. Mm-hmm. And now we'd like to introduce a dance team who just finished a picture with us on the lot. And I'm sinking slower and lower into the chair because I don't belong here, And then he introduced a singer who had just finished a picture and another fellow who worked on a picture, and he comes out and he says, "While on location, I did a bit and they asked me to do it tonight." And I thought, I got to get out of here. What am I doing here? And another girl, a little starlet that was a very large name who had just finished a picture. Now comes my turn. And I swear, I kid you not, this was my introduction and I remembered it word for word. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I should like to introduce to you a young lady who I understand is very good on television. However, I've never seen her.
Oh. No.
And here she is, Rose Marie.
Wow.
And I will never forget that introduction.
Yeah, that sort of grabs you.
Wow. Yeah. And it was, and I walked out there and I said, "Thank you very much." I said, "I don't know what I'm doing here." I said, it was ridiculous, but I did very well. And after the thing was over, Jack Parr came over me and he said, "I'm awfully sorry." I said, "That's all right, I don't know you either."
Wow. You should have walked out and said, "Jack, you've never seen me, and you're never going to see me tonight. Good night." Walked off.
I couldn't do that.
Well, now I would like to introduce a little talent who I think is going to sing for us today.
Yes, Jane, I've gotten tired of this incessant piano playing morning after morning. It's enough to drive a man mad. So today I thought I'd sing a little something for you from one of my albums called... So I'll sing a little something for you. I think every songwriter has at one time or another written a song called "I Love You." I remember reading once in Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, which was a kind of a believe-it-or-not type newspaper feature, that there are 254 copyrighted songs with the title I Love You.
Hmm.
You can't copyright a title and have it your exclusive property, so anybody who wants to write a song called I Love You is quite free to do so. And I took a crack at it, and here's the song. It's called I Love You, says it very well.
After all is said and done, I love you, says it very well. Porter and Berlin, and the words they spin, can't improve upon this timeless evergreen. I love you, this the wise men recommend. Tales to tell, but I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you, says it very well.
Song called I Love You says it very well.
Very nice.
Thank you.
You have a good voice this morning. Yes.
Thank you very much.
He always is at this hour.
I think right now we'll just pause for another important word and then come on right back for some more interesting chatter.
I'm Dr. Frank Baxter, and I'd like to tell you about a challenging and rewarding profession, teaching. Why be a teacher? Well, teachers are important people. In America, we realize today as perhaps never before how important teachers are to the very safety of our nation. No group of citizens excels our teachers in loyalty to country and in their understanding of American values. Education is the most important foundation of our society, and good education cannot exist without good teachers. It's exciting how often in the biographies of great men and women, we hear them expressing their debt of gratitude to some teacher they once had. It's a good profession. It pays better than it did in the past, and salaries are improving all the time. When the time comes for you to select your career, you think of teaching. And for information about a teaching career, write to the State Department of Education at Sacramento, and write also to the California Teachers Association, Burlingame, California.
Well, here we are again. Rosemary, you have an event coming up you want to mention.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about, you and Jane about this, and as long as Alan and Dickie are here. I have become very involved with an organization called the California Educational Clinic, which is for what they say exceptional children.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a physical sort of thing. This is an educational program. This is a school which is here on Sepulveda, off of Magnolia, which is a tremendous school for these exceptional children, retarded children. And they are doing a magnificent job. It is a very small group, and they need schoolrooms and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the auxiliary of it, which is called Children's Hour, is having a fashion show at Bullock's February the 24th.
24th of this month.
And it'll be in the afternoon. And by the way, you and Jane are most cordially invited to attend.
Rosie,
because,
could I say, is that the Bullock's here in the valley?
I said Wilshire, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Bullock's
Fashion Square.
I just know there's a couple, and I
will. Well, it's Bullock's
one.
Fashion Square
it's
because
in
it's in the valley.
Yeah.
And we're having quite a few celebrities that are modeling and things like that. And there is a gentleman's table, so the gentleman will not be embarrassed.
Oh. Well, I have some nice gowns.
But I would like very much to invite you to come, Jane, and you too, Steve. And anyone who is interested in going over there, they will see some wonderful fashions and some nice people, celebrities in our business, who are giving up their time for the California Educational Clinic so that we may build a new schoolroom with some new desks to teach these children.
It's so inspiring to see, well, people such as yourself, Rosie, and various local organizations putting so much effort into community improvement, especially in this entire field of mental health, mental retardation, that sort of thing, because the need is really staggering. Oh. It's a national problem, really a national scandal in many communities, and therefore we need more people such as yourself and the fine people you're working with in this organization to get to it and do what has to be done. What day of the week is that now?
I think that's on a Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, and the tickets will be $350. And
where do you get tickets?
You can get them over at Bullock's. All you have to do is call the fashion coordinator over there, and I'm sure that they will make arrangements for you. Marge Van Dyke, Dick's wife, and myself are very active in this particular project, and we're quite concerned because both Marge and myself are of the same caliber, I guess, where we don't want to just lend our names. We want to work and do something for it, and if we can at all do any good as far as helping the school is concerned, this Lou Alsett, who is the director there of the school, has done a tremendous job, and these adorable, wonderful children who are there, when you go over to the school, and of course you can go over any time at all to watch the work of what's going on, these teachers are so underpaid and do it as such a nature of love for these children, so that you want to just do anything that you possibly can.
Of course.
And this little luncheon is going to try to help us get a schoolroom. We want to build several schoolrooms, naturally, but I think the luncheon will help to build at least one, and we can get started that way. We have several projects. Bob Sweeney has been voted president of the board. As you know, Bob is fine director, very fine man. I am very honored to say I have been voted vice president, and as I told them that I would not be in anything unless I could do something, and so I'm really on my bandwagon to
Well, Rosie, it is a luncheon on Wednesday. Is that February 24th?
24th.
At Bullock's
Fashion
in
Square,
Fashion Square. And what time does it start?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yes,
the luncheon,
there will be a designer's tea. There will be a designer's tea. Actually, it's called a designer's tea.
I see.
And we will have Lola Albright and Janet Lee and Stephanie Powers and
all
those gorgeous thin girls up there.
Yes. Well, I'm sure it'll be a great success, and they probably have beautiful gowns.
Yes, they're all beautiful special designer's gowns that were made for these gowns, and they will model them, and it will just be a very nice afternoon, and of course the money goes very well.
And how much are the tickets again?
$350.
Oh, that's not
Thank
much.
You,
that's
Jane.
Very inexpensive.
Not at all. Spend that on a load of rubbish going out one night, couldn't you?
And I open invitation to all of you, please.
Well,
if
I
you
shall
have,
be there,
you,
Rosie.
If you can, I'd love for you to come. And you won't be embarrassed, fellas, because we're going to have a gentleman's table, really.
Well, I've been through that school, and it's
I'd
fabulous.
Rather you didn't, as a matter of fact. I'd like to mingle, belonging to
Well, we have some projects coming up. I'm just going to drop this little hint. We're having a painting thing where we're asking all our celebrity friends to give us a painting, and that will be in the near future, which we will auction off. So if I come yelling again, you'll know what for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I better get out the paintbrush.
Yeah, do you paint yourself?
Oh, you mean a painting done by the celebrities?
That's right.
Well, we have some. He's done some very good ones.
You're hooked.
I have tried my hand at it.
Could you whip one up for Alan and I by the 24th? Because we're unless you paint, do you, Alan?
I'd rather have one of Steve's.
But you do paint, I can tell by the
by the hesitation.
Yes.
I can.
I've also got a back door that has a little chip or two while you're there.
Do you paint, Alan?
Yes, I can tell. He does.
Oh, well, you're hooked.
Mm-hmm.
You have just promised me a painting.
I was taught to paint and paint and never sell them or give them away because you'll bore people with them. But if it's for something like that, I'd be very happy.
You know the school. You've been through it.
Yes, June Foray took me through it.
June's going to be our guest one of these days very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, it's now 11 minutes before 10, And that is as good a time as any, Jane, to ask you, what is this flower of the day here?
Well, I have quite a few flowers of the day here. I have a little spring arrangement, spring flowers. Rosie, what would you like? Would you like one of the camellias or one of my giant field-grown pansies? And this, of course, is peach blossoms.
Oh, I think the camellias are beautiful.
The pink camellias, aren't they lovely?
Gorgeous.
Camellias
gorgeous.
Were the flower of the day one day recently, weren't
they? Yes, mm-hmm. And then I have these lovely, I like the field-grown pansies, you know, because they're so large.
What is the difference between a field-grown pansy and another pansy?
They're larger. They're
and grown in a field, of course.
The field-grown pansies are, 10 or 15 times the size of a regular pansy.
You know pansies in England, the flowers, you know, we have all different color pansies, which are much larger than that grow in our gardens. Truly.
Even than this size?
Oh, but much larger.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Like the head, almost the head of a cup.
Really?
You know?
Oh, yeah, I've never seen one.
I was going to say, Jane, this appears to be, about an inch and a half or maybe 2 inches in diameter. And if that's 10 or 15 times larger than
A regular size? Yes, Audrey has the regular size, and they are, I would say, smaller than that little section in there, which is usually very tiny.
But the field pansies are usually double, too, the extra.
Yes, they have the extra petals. Mm-hmm. One reason why I like pansies so much, to me that looks like a face.
It does.
Doesn't it
to
you?
No, they're a marvelous flower and great colors.
Gorgeous colors.
But I don't see so many of them in this country.
In
England, everybody grows them.
Well, I love them. I grow them every year.
Well, I don't love them. I have about
this to me looks like a
little cat. 300 or 400 in my room. I like them.
Well, it's because of the two or three lines that are up on top and then all, it looks like the whisk is down on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Down there.
Does that look like a kitten to you, Alan?
Yes.
Doesn't
now
it?
That I look at
well,
it.
In that case, you're all under arrest.
This is the color I adore.
Yes, the deep purple.
The deep.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It's like velvet. It's the
exactly
most
like
beautiful velvet.
It looks like I'd like to have an evening gown. Maybe.
Over here.
As you know, it's my custom to open the dictionary here when we bring up the names of these various flowers and see what we can learn therefrom as to the origin of their name, at least, if not the thing itself, which, of course, will always be obscured. Pansy, it says here. Plural is pansies. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
you learn a little something every day.
It's a very educational show. And here's something seriously quite fascinating. It's from the French word penser, a thought.
Thought, to think.
Or to think. Penser, to think. A small plant of the violet family with flat, broad, velvety petals in many colors, also called heart's ease. It doesn't explain why this flower heart's ease. It doesn't explain why the flower is rooted, the name of it is rooted in the French word for thinking, but there it is.
But it means thinking, thought.
Yes, thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I think it means.
I hate a thinking flower myself.
It's interesting. It's from the
very
violet
thinking
family.
Flower.
That
yeah.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that. That is in the form, if you know violets.
The leaf.
It's similar.
I know violet, and she's certainly...
you know, it's a little dangerous to look at the roots sometimes of words. I stopped enjoying my breakfast thanks to looking up the word marmalade.
Why?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Please, look it up, Steve.
Yeah. Why, okay. Yeah.
Well, we were traveling through Scotland, and I stopped at a little place, and they said, well, you know, Mary, Queen of Scots, nearly died here. A place called, I've forgotten. But there's a little room, and marmalade was discovered in this room because she was from France, and she loved oranges. And so she was so sick she couldn't eat the orange, so they squashed it. They put warm water over it because she was not well, and that was what she liked. So marmalade... I gathered, now I haven't looked this up, I took it apart myself, I thought, Mary Marmalade.
Sick.
Mary
Ew.
Sick.
Oh my.
So I took one look at my
Mary.
Breakfast the next morning and said, I don't
you
want
You say we have some toast butter and a little sick...
Oh dear.
You
quite be
weird?
Careful when you look up these words.
That's very interesting.
Well, that's why I won't eat peanut butter, the same reason.
No, he's going to look it up and it
Henry
means pansy,
V.
probably.
Yeah.
What does it say, Steve?
From the French.
Marmalade, plural marmalades. No, I just made that. It's from the French, marmalade. From the Portuguese, marmalada, which doesn't tell us too much.
Unless you're in Portugal.
It's a confection of quinces. Marmelo is the word for quince in Portugal. The Latin word is melimelum. Melimelum.
Melimelum. Like
and the Greek word was melamelon.
Well,
see, it's related to the word
in
melon.
The toast and melamelon.
Melamelon, or melon, sweet apple. The Greek word for honey is meli, M-E-L-I, plus melon, apple. Melon is the Greek word for apple.
Hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
Fascinating.
I love words.
We've been eating melon all this time, and it's really apples we've been eating. Big apples.
But they don't define it as Mary sick,
they didn't tell
do
us
they?
About Mary being sick, no.
No, you haven't. Well,
this is the Scottish version, so, you know, they can be wrong in a lot of things. Because if they don't know, they'll thought? Make it up.
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't they give you some sort of story for that when they kind of do that?
Well, they never gave me that story. I just took it apart myself, because the marmalade that we eat was invented in Scotland due to Mary, Queen of Scots. And so I took the word
that's
apart.
Fact.
Like Marylebone Street in London is from Mary Le Bow, and they say it Marylebone. You know, England, they shorten everything, like veg for vegetables, the halls for holidays. But I'll go back to marmalade in as much
I
as the Portuguese
you've gone
are
far
eating.
Enough.
Mm-hmm. Or the Greeks. I love marmalade.
And veg.
Yes.
Well, I think that covers the marmalade.
Very nice discussion on comedy we've had, hasn't it? Yeah?
I haven't mentioned it once.
Told me more about pansies than I wish to know, to tell you the
truth. It's 10:05 right now. We'll pause for this message.
And something good for marmalade is Barbara Ann. Barbara Ann announces a new achievement in flavor and honest-to-goodness eating. It's milk and honey bread. It comes in white and wheat and contains the natural goodness of whole milk, pure honey, and Montana spring wheat. Try it and know how good it is. Milk and Honey Bread by Barbara Ann. And always remember,
for the nicest things from a baking pan, help yourself to Barbara Ann. Bread varieties by Barbara Ann. Delicious.
And we'll return to Jane and Steve in just a moment. Let's remind you now that Jane and Steve are being brought to you over KHJ, AM and FM, RKO General for Los Angeles, where the time right now, 10:05.
One of the reasons I used the cliche about Grand Central Station earlier is besides the number of guests we have this morning, we have our 7-year-old Billy and our 47-year-old Don Otis over there. And we also have, you all know Ira Cook, the well-known local disc jockey. Well, we have his daughter Susie Cook here playing with Billy. And Billy was listening to our conversation a moment ago, and he has something to tell us about Greek words. What was that, Bill?
Kalimera.
Kalimera. Is that a Greek word?
Yes.
What does it mean?
Good morning.
Where did you learn that?
In class.
Oh. George Givett is one of the teachers.
He is not.
That's true. George Givett, honey, is a vaudeville comedian who later got into motion pictures.
How did you happen to learn it, darling?
We were studying about Greece.
Oh,
really? Mm-hmm. Could you get a little closer to this Armenian microphone, honey?
What else have you learned about Greece?
Oh, nothing.
Oh,
just that they grow olives a lot there.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. And they say good morning a lot. Good morning. They say good morning. How are your olives? Common greeting.
Call me Mikalala, whatever.
What college was that do you word? Go to, Billy? That you learn all this.
Kali me wrong.
If we could just learn one Greek word a day, we could invade Greece in an hour.
Kali dash may dash ra dash.
What's that?
No.
Radish, she said.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Rosemary asked you what school you go to.
Buckley.
Oh, my. And what grade are you in?
Second.
And they're teaching you all about Greece and teaching you Greek words?
They're teaching him geometry. They're teaching him French. He is learning things that I goofed on in high school.
Now we're going to start about Switzerland or things like that. Everybody's saying, not that. Why not Canada or Hawaii or something like that?
Well, why do they want to know more about Hawaii and Canada rather than...
I don't know.
How do you feel about it?
Oh.
Why not Hawaii and Canada? Is that how you feel?
They want to learn. With Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's probably because he's been there, you see, and because Canada's near.
And he would have a head start.
Yes.
He could tell them a few
that
things.
Is marvelous.
Yes,
really.
But Switzerland's very fascinating to learn about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All about the Bern Bears.
He seriously is learning to speak French.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oui.
Comment allez-vous?
How are you?
See.
Do you want to answer me?
He translates
French
anyway.
No.
Well, by golly, with this lineup of guests today, Dickie Dawson and Rose Marie and Alan Young.
Hey, Professor Billy. Alan.
Yeah. Daddy is counting him.
Bill.
Yes, and Bill and Don him. And Susie.
And Lingus LeBill. Lingus.
And what with all this cast of thousands, we have run out of time, so I'll say thanks, Rosie.
My pleasure, Steve.
And
Jane.
Thank you, Rosie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
I'm afraid your washing is going to go over.
I think my bell went ding ding.
Yes. Goodbye, Jane.
Bye-bye, dear.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been here an hour.
Visit with Jane and Steve again tomorrow morning at 9.05 a.m. for another 55-minute get-together direct from their home in Encino. You never know who may stop in and visit with Jane Meadows and Steve Allen. So join them every morning, Monday through Friday, at 9.05 a.m. Michael Jackson in just 5 minutes. Now stay tuned for the news next with Alan Moore.